If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Hey there, welcome to episode 386 of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, registered dietitian and your host. Thank you for joining me, fellow voice finder. This is a bonus episode that I am recording because of when it's being released. So if you are not a dietitian, this episode is still very much for you, but I have recorded it with my fellow dietitians in mind because this weekend I'm going to be going to Minneapolis to embark on the annual dietitian conference that is the FENCE, which stands for Food Nutrition Conference and Expo. It's a super big deal in the dietitian world. I don't think it's so anymore, but before COVID, there would be around like 10,000 dietitians there. I think there's probably still 6,000 or 7,000 that go, but it is always a great time. I really enjoy networking and just meeting other dietitians. And so it's always a fun time for me. And I appreciate from the one-on-one conversations that I have had with many of you over the years, whether it's at FENCE in the hallways or out to dinner, or if it's over email afterwards, or it's just in my DMs on social media. There is a very pervasive experience that so many dietitians are experiencing, but people don't like to talk about publicly a lot. So if you are a therapist, psychologist, health coach, doctor, nurse, any other kind of healthcare provider that I have not named, nobody has their shit together. And no one's expecting you also to have your shit together, but I know that you really want everyone to believe that you do. But if you are someone that helps people, especially helps people with a relationship with food, and this is why as dietitians, I think we're particularly at risk for having a really complicated history with food, because we're supposed to know it all. But knowing is not the answer. Knowing something doesn't mean it's going to just like snap your fingers and make it different. And what I have experienced in all these conversations that I was saying earlier, these private conversations, is that so many people feel so much shame for having a complicated relationship with food, a stressful relationship with food, or they feel like they are emotionally eating or binge eating or really scared of certain foods or over-exercising or just has a relationship with food where they feel really not okay. Like we always say in the world, it's okay to not be okay. And I am recording this episode right before FENCE because I hope it connects with those of you, especially who I'm going to be having conversations with, because I haven't talked to you yet, but I know I will in a few days because it always happens. Those of you who I do connect with there, and I can just reference this episode so you know you are not alone. I've had the... I mean, this is such a privilege, but I've had the privilege of working with many dietitians in particular over the years who are trying to recover from their eating disorder. And if you're not a dietitian, you may be able to appreciate how hard it is to have this job, but to think about food all the time and to look at a plate of food and always know what is on that plate, whether it's calories, whatever macro, whatever is trending to be a bad thing, to always have that information in your head, just because we are like a walking nutrient encyclopedia, it is really hard. Even if you logically know that your worth is not tied to that behavior, it's a really hard thing. And so this episode is going to give you my three biggest tips that I shared with my clients who are dietitians over the years, And again, whether you're a dietitian or not, I hope you find it helpful. We're going to get to this episode after a very quick sponsor break. All right, welcome back. So like I said, I have a quick 3 bullet point list here. I wrote it on my notes app as I was walking Doug this morning. I was just thinking about this and I've been wanting to record this episode for a while, but I didn't know exactly how I wanted to put it through because everyone does have their own particular experience with their complicated history of food, but there are certain emotions, certain types of experiences that people have described to me that even though they can be very individual, they have some common themes. And so as I was walking Doug, and Doug, by the way, is my dog. as I was walking Doug this morning, it kind of just came to me like many things do. And so wrote it down on my notes app here. So the number one thing that I want you to do, if you do have a complicated history with food and you are a dietitian or another kind of helper or healer, is I really want you to try to take a step back and name the oppressive system that has gotten you in all of this. And this is going to be very individual. You know, this is going to be depending on the type of life you're living, the type of identity that you have, and how the world reacts to that. So yeah, it's going to be very unique. And I would imagine, depending on what type of identity you have, that this may be more complicated for you compared to other people. Again, depending on what type of lived experience you have, what type of identity you have, how much the world like marginalizes you just because of that identity. Name the system or systems that you're experiencing and try to connect the dots to when you first experienced that, how that was a part of the mapping of this complicated relationship that you have with food. A part of the Find Your Food Voice book design is helping any reader to be able to do this step. So there's a lot that can come from this. It can be a process that can take a little bit of time, but while it is hard work, it is very, very, very good work because what we've been trained to do with our relationship with food is to blame ourselves if we don't look a certain way or we don't behave a certain way. And that's the fucked up part, number one, because it's blaming you instead of blaming the systems that have pushed these ideas on you. And what I like to think about is how they have been downloaded without your consent, these ideas about how we're supposed to relate to our body. And remember, you don't need to be fixed. It's the world around us that needs to be fixed. So naming these oppressive systems, which is rooted in a feminist kind of theory, you know, naming the systems that are hurting us instead of making an individual type of experience, basically just helps to take off some of these heavy like weights that we're having to carry around with us. Put them down. They don't belong to you. And when you put them down, it'll give you a chance to take a deep breath, to rest, and then look around and see all the other people who are experiencing the same type of harm, and then all the people who are experiencing even more harm so we can come together to fix the shit that actually needs to be fixed. All right, let's move on to number two. So like I mentioned at the top of the show, many dietitians will talk to me about this complicated history that they have with food in secret. They don't like to talk about it in front of other people. So whether they were clients or they would pull me aside in a hallway, you know, when during this big dietitian conference, there's thousands and thousands of dietitians. But as people go into the conferences to go learn something, that's when a lot of times people will pull me aside and want to talk about this. And there's so much isolation and secrecy that makes this so much harder to recover from. When you feel alone, it's going to give it so much more power. And you may know this, but I don't know how. I wish I could like just snap my fingers or wave a magic wand and you would feel more at ease with reaching out to get help. And that help can be from an individual therapist, which can be really great. But I appreciate, I really do, especially in your local community, it can be really tough to find a provider that, one, you don't know. If you're like me and you have specialized in eating disorders, if you want to talk about your own relationship with food, it can be tough to find a therapist or another helper like that who you don't already know professionally. You know, working with a therapist who doesn't really know you is kind of the best part. So it can be really hard to find somebody. So what I know myself and other people have done is we've reached out to support groups, whether it's lived experience support groups or clinician support groups, where it's other clinicians coming together for the same exact reason. I know my friend and colleague, Heidi Schuster, she's someone that does, and I just realized I may be saying her last name wrong. Heidi Schuster? Heidi, I need to get clarification on how to say your last name. I will put a link in the show notes for you. But Heidi does run a clinician kind of support group that is all about helping your relationship with food. But there are many clinicians who provide this type of service, and they haven't always been around. This is something that I've only noticed really in the last 5 or so years, because there was so much shame and secrecy, and people felt like really isolated. And you may appreciate how your clients feel that too. And we encourage them to seek out help and know they're not alone, but you deserve that same experience. So I would encourage you to seek out support with people who have the same lived experience and or a clinician-led group for clinicians. So then you can talk about the nuance of like helping clients recover their complicated history with food while also repairing your own. And why I love that so much. And also the first one, you know, naming the oppressive system, is the shame that you are carrying around. This heavy, heavy shame cloak that you probably have draped around you that is maybe acting like some kind of armor, but it's only hurting you. This shame cloak is not yours. I wish we could just pop it off right now. And if you're not watching me on YouTube, you don't see me popping it off. But I wish there was a way you could just do that. And, you know, while I can wish for it, one thing that I know is that you naming the systems and seeking support and just not being alone anymore in this struggle is going to start chipping away at that shame. Because remember, that shame doesn't belong to you. This is not something that is your fault. This is not something that needs to be fixed in you. You are basically experiencing this alarm that is going off because our world needs to be fixed. It's your strength. It's allowing you to know something is happening that's a problem. And because you are experiencing this, it's also equipping you to really help others. And the way for you to do this without burning out and harming yourself is to be able to seek support. So I will put the limited number of resources that I know about in the show notes, but I encourage you to keep asking around, keep talking to people that you trust, and know that you also deserve recovery. You also deserve to enjoy a relationship with food that has pleasure and satisfaction and is energizing and nourishing. You also are a voice finder. You are someone who is reclaiming your food voice because we need you. We need you in this process to continue, because the more of us that comes together and finds our own food voice, the more we can help other people who are struggling to do the same. All right. So these are my three ways to help repair that complicated history of food. I hope it helps you to feel a little less alone. That is like seriously the whole reason I recorded this. So I do hope it helps. If you enjoyed this podcast, I hope you can push follow or subscribe. I hope you can share the episode maybe with another clinician that you know is also struggling. And while you're at it, leaving a review is something that also helps the show grow. So we thank you in advance for all of that. All right, so I'm going to let you go for this week, but we will be back next week on Tuesday with another episode of Find Your Food Voice. Until then, take care.